Hi, this is Dennis Hoyle from Bellwether Games, and you're listening to The Family Gamers.
Hello, and welcome to episode 70 of The Family Gamers Podcast.
I am your host, Andrew, and as always, I am here with my lovely wife, Anitra.
That's me.
And we are here this week. We have kind of a fun topic to talk about, something that we've got a little bit of experience with, and we're looking forward to experiencing again in a couple of weeks.
We will soon have a lot more experience with.
Right. So this week we are going to talk about bringing kids to conventions.
Yes, cons with kids.
Yeah. When, you know, what kinds of things do your kids need to be able to handle before you feel like you can bring them to a convention? What are some good tips if you're at a convention with kids to keep them from getting overwhelmed? Or I think all of us have been to, like, even the mall or a theme park or something where just like kid is done. And so how do you basically either handle that or keep that from happening? Really keep that from happening, I think, is the goal. Yeah. So that's what we're going to talk about the second half of the show. But as always with the first half of the show, we are going to talk about what we've been doing lately. So we're recording the show one day late because tonight was our family game night at Barnes & Noble.
Yay, family game night!
And it was our costume family game night, so a couple of kids were dressed up in costume.
Yes.
One of them was ours. He was dressed up as Link.
Our daughter was also wearing her skeleton jammies.
Yeah, she wore her skeleton pajamas, so I suppose you
those
could say
her
that she was...
alternate costume.
She was, yes, that's her default I don't want to put any effort in costume.
Yes.
So she was dressed up as a skeleton, I guess.
She was.
We did have one boy come dressed as a ninja, as the default Always. Boy costume. But yeah, we played a few games.
We did.
We had a good time. What did we play?
We played Number 9.
Mm-hmm.
We showed Boo to some of our friends.
We did. At the night. Then we played a couple games that we had never played before.
Yeah.
One game that we had never played before? Two games.
Two games we had never played before. We played Pirate Pairs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a variation, a new deck for a card game that's just called Pairs.
Yep. It's like a pub game. It's definitely a pub game.
It's a
standard kind of default thing you can play with one or a few decks of cards.
Yeah. There's not really a winner. There's just only one loser.
Mm-hmm. Which was never me.
You play until somebody loses, and then you make the loser do something. If you were actually playing in a pub, you could be like, okay, loser, you get to buy the next round.
Right. So the way this game works, so this is an actual prepackaged thing, kind of like how you can buy, like, prepackaged Go Fish or prepackaged this or that. And they called it a pyramid deck, right?
A triangular deck. Called it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have cards numbered 1 through 10,
mm-hmm.
and there's 1-1, 2-2s, 3-3s, 4-4s, 5-5s, blah, 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 up to 10-10s.
Yes. And the way you play the game is that first you just deal out a card to everyone who's playing,
mm-hmm.
And the person who has the low card goes first. They decide if they want, you know, to hit, they want another card, or if they want to fold.
Right.
Folding means you automatically lose that round.
But when
you lose, you earn points. Points are bad. If you fold, you can pick the lowest card in play as the points that you gain.
Right. And nobody else gets any points.
And there's only one point getter
every round.
Yes. If you hit, you can keep going around. Until someone, when they hit, gets a pair.
Right.
And then whatever it is you made a pair with, that number. So if you got 2 8s, 8 would be the number of points that you get.
Right. So everybody knows every round that there's only 1-1 and there's only 2 2s and mm-hmm. there's only 3 3s. So if there's a 1 or a 2 out on the board, if you don't want to push your luck too much, you might want to fold just to guarantee that you're not going to get nailed with an 8 or a 9 or a 10.
Yeah.
Because there's 10 tens.
Yeah.
So the chances of you getting that are a lot higher. Obviously, it depends on what cards are in front of you. But
yeah.
It's a quick game. It's very easy. It's 5 seconds to explain.
And even the one kid in the group who kept being like, I don't get it. By the third time around, he was like, okay, yeah, I want another card.
Right. Yeah, but I mean,
he wasn't fully comprehending, but he was getting it enough to play along and enjoy it.
The thing is, this kid was not a a board gamer,
Okay.
He was definitely there under
duress.
So the fact that he kind of warmed up to it a little bit, I think, was more of a commentary than anything else. So it's a pretty simple game. You can basically do this with a couple of decks of cards at home, but we played an actual deck called Pirate Pairs.
So that it was Pirate Pairs because all the cards were pirate themed, and the illustrations were pretty nice.
They were not bad.
I liked them.
Yep. So what else did we play?
We also, the other new thing we played was Story Cubes Voyages.
Okay, so we've talked a million times about Story Cubes on the show. This is just a particular variant we hadn't played before.
Yeah, but man, the kids were having a blast with this and making up really wacky and bizarre stories. So it was good.
It brings me, I want to say maybe a month ago, Rory, the guy who created Story Cubes, tweeted something about how he made his last Story Cube imprint or whatever it was, because of course they sold it to I think Asmodee, so that was a little bit bittersweet for him. But there's so many of them. I mean, there's so many different flavors and versions and things like that, that really you could pretty much find something that will suit.
I will say, having played Voyages now, I think some of the really classic sets are the most flexible, though. Like,
sure,
there's only so many variations on Story Cube's Batman. There's only so many Batman stories you can tell. And they're good, but you might run out of inspiration.
Yeah, tell that to DC Comics.
Well, fair. But they've had a whole crew of people that have those stories.
Right.
But with Voyages, it definitely, again, there's multiple ways each symbol can be interpreted. And so it really widens it out.
Sure.
With the stories you can tell.
So we did play some games outside of... outside of just playing some games at game night. Let's see. Last week we picked up and had a really great time playing Cave versus Cave.
Yes,
the
Caverna,
two-player version of Caverna. I really like this game.
I cannot wait to play it again. It'll be fun.
Yeah, so this is a game that's published by Mayfair Games and Lookout Spiel. So these are the same people who do Agricola, the same people who do Patchwork, Baron Park, all these games that we really like a fair bit. I mean, I pretty much like most of the stuff that they put out, I guess. A lot of people have said that Agricola and Caverna are extremely similar games.
In many ways, yeah, but I definitely saw the differences here between the two-player version of Agricola that we have and this, now the two-player version of Caverna.
Right.
It's sort of a worker placement game, except without the workers?
Well, the two-player version is without the workers.
Yeah.
And the way they accomplish this is it's pretty clever. So in a classic worker placement game, right, when you place a worker on an area of the board or a tile or whatever, it blocks the other player from being able to do that thing.
Right.
With Cave versus Cave, what they do is they kind of have this, I call it a spine.
Yeah.
And you put the tiles that represent the locations that you would normally place a worker, along the spine. And at the beginning of the game, I don't know, two-thirds of them are you know, face
covered.
Down.
Yeah.
So it actually adds some randomness, which I like.
Yeah.
As you go along, you just take one of the tiles from the spine that's face up that you want to do, and you move it to your side. Right? So it's worker placement. It actually says right on the back of the box, it's worker placement without workers.
Right, because you just move the action over to your side of the spine board.
Yep.
And that shows, like, I did this, and you can't do it. And it also is really helpful because you get to take a certain number of actions in each round.
And you can just kind of count them.
You can just count and be like, okay, yeah, you did three and I did two. Okay, I still have one more.
Right. Yeah. So it kind of helps a little bit with that as well. I mean, ultimately, what you're doing in the game is a little bit different in the sense that you're not raising animals or anything like that. You're kind of building your cool dwarven cave colony.
Yeah.
I think I like the theme a little bit more, and there's just something about it.
You're filling your cave with rooms. I actually have to say I like the farming theme a little more, but I like the jigsaw-y, puzzle-y aspect to this game.
Well, there's a lot more chance in this game, right? So
also a lot more chance.
So you have to mine tiles, and you don't know what's under those tiles until you mine them out.
Yeah.
I mean, the little bonuses you get from certain rooms are printed on the board, so you kind of know where those are going to be.
Right.
But there could be a certain tile that's sort of part of your key strategy that is in some corner of the board that you never get to.
Right.
And so not only is there randomness with your mining, but there's also randomness with the tiles in the order that they come out. I just think it makes it a little bit more interesting, right? There's nothing really hidden in Agricola at all, right? So, I mean, at least the two-player version.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. I think I like Cave versus Cave better.
Sure. We also gave Match Madness a try.
Yeah. So this is a game from Foxmine Games. This is something I saw back in February when I was at Toy Fair. And, you know, full disclosure, I was at Toy Fair helping out in the Foxmine booth. But it was my favorite game to demo because it was instantly understandable.
Mm-hmm.
The iconography was crystal clear on the multi-sided domino things.
Yeah.
I don't know what you'd call
building
them.
Blocks,
I guess. And it's deceptively difficult, especially at the higher levels.
Yeah.
It seemed so easy. And essentially what you're doing is, so you have, each person has five of these blocks. And basically what these blocks are they're like if you took 2.5-inch cubes and stuck them together into some kind of like tower thing, right? What polyhedron? I don't know what the appropriate term is for that.
Rectangular prism.
Sure. It's not like quadragon or some cool name.
No.
So everybody has the same five. Mm-hmm. Right, and you flip over a card, and you have to create the pattern that's on the card. And so the way these, what do you call them, polyhedrons, four-sided prisms, whatever. The way these, I can't remember this stuff.
Rectangular prisms. So it works a little bit like a tangram idea that you're trying to match the pattern that's on the card with the colors on the blocks.
Right. So imagine they're like dominoes.
Yeah.
Right, except there's four sides to each.
To each domino.
Each one. Yeah. So the short ends are not anything.
You don't use those.
But so you've got to figure out, and some of them have, there's a couple of different, you know, pattern sets that are on multiple pieces. I keep wanting to call them dice because they're pips on the ends to show you which ones are which, and they're not dice. And so sometimes you'll have something and you're like one block away, but it turns out that the block that's in your hand is
needed to be
also
somewhere else.
Be somewhere else. And the one that's down with a certain pattern up, you need it, but you need a different pattern from that one to put in a different place.
Yes.
And it's just, it's really frustrating, but it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And one thing that we did that was a really, really great way to rule shift, right? Because that's one of the key things about playing games with kids is figuring out how to rule shift a game in a way that's fair to everybody and everybody has fun, is there's five sets of cards.
There's five different difficulties.
And so basically, normally what you do with this game is, you flip a card and each person races to complete that card.
Right.
And so what we did was, with our six-year-old, he had the difficulty one cards in front of him, and I had the difficulty five cards in front of me, and we were basically racing to complete the stack. And he was working on his cards, and I was working on my cards, and he beat me. But it was actually pretty close. And you know, we were both, like, real. I was trying. I mean,
I was watching you, and I gave him hints a couple of times, but I tried to also give you hints a couple of times to be like, have you tried doing this?
Yes, I have. Leave me alone. But yeah, I mean, really, it's really deceptively difficult, and it's really fun to play.
Yeah.
And there's a couple.
Wait a minute. Does this mean we found an abstract game that you enjoy?
I suppose so. Look, I don't not enjoy abstract games. You just like them a lot more than I do.
All right.
Like, well, we played Number 9 tonight, and I liked it.
Okay.
See? There's a lot of variance with it that I like, too. Like, you can set out one of each difficulty level, and people can work on whichever one they want to complete that one, but the lower the difficulty, the less points that card is worth.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoy that too. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that the game can be played, and with the rule shifting and all these things, it's just a lot of fun. I really liked it.
I agree. We put up a review this week.
We did. We played Voodoo a few times and put up a review for that from Mayday Games, trying to keep with that sort of creepy Halloween-y October theme.
Yeah. Before the end of October.
So head over to thefamilygamers.com and check that one out. That's actually live right now.
Short version, great game for groups of kids.
Yes.
As long as you're okay with the theme.
Yes, as long as you're comfortable with the voodoo thing, and like the active player token is a mini voodoo doll.
And the players are casting curses on each other, right. Like, I curse you that you have to stand on one leg.
Right. I mean, yeah. The curses are you know, pretty germane. There's nothing really shady going on or anything like that. Yeah. And obviously, I mean, it's for kids. But if in general, like, that whole idea is something that you're not comfortable with, and that's perfectly understandable, that really would be the only reason to stay away from a game like that. So,
all right. What else? We bought Sagrada tonight after the
night. Yeah, we did.
I'm super excited to play but we haven't had time yet.
And we formally bought Magic Maze.
Yes.
So now we own
Magic Maze.
Too. So there's no more looming specter of we have to give this back, which is awesome. So definitely next show we'll be talking about how we played Sagrada.
Oh my goodness, Magic Maze. I can't wait. Video games. After our show last week that we talked about video games, I got back into playing more Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yes, you did.
I did.
I beat Hob.
I brought the Switch with me to school pickup one day because I was like, I want to finish this thing. I'm going to do it sitting in the car while I'm waiting.
Yeah, that's commitment. You're the only person who's ever brought it out of the house, it turns out.
So far.
Yeah, so far. I beat Hob. So yep. I'll be putting up a review for that sometime in the next
couple of weeks.
Month.
And for our anniversary, I bought you Mario plus Rabbids.
Yes, Kingdom Battle, after we talked about it last week on the show.
And you were like, ooh, it's like Final Fantasy Tactics? Ooh.
Well, I knew that, but yeah, so today is our 13th wedding anniversary.
Aww. Aren't we cute?
Yeah. And so we're celebrating by playing games and podcasting. Woo-hoo! Pretty much our marriage. It's awesome. So you did pick up Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle for me, and we've pretty much turned it into a family game. Yeah. Everybody sits on the couch, and I probably should solicit advice more. I think about that basically after I have somebody move and attack. Yeah. I'm like, maybe I should have like actually asked what people wanted to do.
Although I noticed our son pointed out something to you, and you're like, oh, I didn't see that over there. You know, let me go get it.
Well, so we mentioned this last week on the show that he watched hours and hours and hours of video. So he can be like, videos. Dad, I saw in the video they went over here and they got a chest. And I'm like, okay, I'll go get the chest. Thanks, Asher. So, but I think he really enjoys being in the know.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So... That's been really fun.
A more fun experience for him that he can tell you what to do for a
chance. Yes. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. In a special brand of torture, behind me on the floor in an envelope is our sealed copy of Mario Odyssey, which will not be coming out for a month.
Yeah, until about Thanksgiving.
But with Amazon Prime, you get 20% off even if you buy it brand new on day one. So I did.
All right.
So,
well, I did not get 20% off Mario and Rabbids because it's already been out for 6 months. So... such is life.
Once I finished up with Hob, I actually picked up the next video game that's in queue for review. We do have a video game review queue.
It's just much shorter because the games are much longer.
Yes. I picked up Rime.
R-I-M-E.
R-I-M-E. This is a game that's been out for a while, and it is now out on Switch, and I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Okay.
But...
just to say that you have it, and
yes,
you're going to work on playing.
I'm checking it out, and I will give some more impressions later on after the embargo is up.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's the games we've been playing this week.
Yeah, not a ton of games this week. We didn't have a formal game night at home like we normally do, so that didn't really work out. But I'm sure we're going to have some Sagrada in about half an hour, so...
yeah, about that. Something like that.
So we'll definitely give our impressions on that next show. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about kids and cons.
Cons with kids. And we're back.
You know, we've been to a lot of cons. We've been to a fair number of cons.
We've been to a few.
You've gone to cons alone. Mm-hmm. I've gone to cons, quote, alone. Like, I've been to PAX. You've been to Granite Game Summit, which are actually very different types of cons.
Very different.
And I think that will play into our conversation a little bit. And we've also gone to cons together as a family, like Boston Fig.
Yes.
But in a couple of weeks, we're going to bring it up to the next level. We're gonna turn the family gamers con experience up to 11. And we're going to go to PAX Unplugged.
With our 9-year-old. And our 6-year-old.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. It's going to be crazy.
Going to be a little crazy.
So that kind of inspired us to spend some time talking about the things that we've learned with regards to bringing kids to cons and what that looks like, what doesn't work, what kinds of things especially you would think would work but actually don't. And really just how, as parents, you can make the con experience enjoyable for you and also for your kids and still kind of get, you know, as much out of it as is reasonable.
Yeah. My number one advice would be, if you've never been to a con with your kids, start by taking them to something small. Go to something local, preferably one day only, not something with thousands and thousands of people. Couple hundred, maybe.
Right. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, it's really hard to have a good idea of how your children are going to react to to crowds like that.
Yeah.
And if you have experience going to, like, theme parks or something like that, that'll definitely give you a little bit of a barometer of what your kids are like. But even then, with those kinds of experiences, it's such a large, captivating experience for a kid, usually, because theme parks are usually themed
designed
towards things
way.
For
yeah.
children. It's not necessarily a crystal clear representation of how they're going to react in a con experience. At a con, I mean, there's stuff going on all around them, and honestly, most of it's not geared towards children.
Yeah, generally not.
Right? And so, you know, in a lot of my con experiences, one of the things that has been very difficult for me, the problem with cons, especially the kinds of cons that I have been to, where you have vendors and booths and, you know, you're trying to see the things that they have to offer, not so much cons like Total Con or Granite Game Summit, where the whole point is to, like, sit down and hang out with friends and play lots of games, mm-hmm. Is, like, FOMO is at an all-time high, right? The fear of
missing out.
You have a limited amount of time. You have to get in as much as possible. And if you're anything like me, I'm the kind of gamer where I need to explore every nuance of every single thing. And that plays into the con experience, too.
Well, and your kids may tend towards one extreme or the other. And if it doesn't mesh well with your interests, you're going to be in trouble. We have one kid who very much tends to, like, you know, 30 seconds, 1 minute at a booth, and like, nope, not interested, moving on.
Right.
And we have one kid where if they find something they really like, we'll happily stay there for 1 or 2 hours.
For me is torture.
By which point you as the parent are like, let's go.
Right. And so ultimately what that means is the kind of the first thing that comes into play in the con experience for a parent and a kid is you have to have that conversation.
Yes.
You have to talk about, and it's not setting expectations for the kids. You need to talk to them and understand their perspective and
yeah.
say, look, this is what it's going to be like. Is this what you would like to do, or do you think you would like to try that? And if you do end up going to a multi-day convention, that's a check-in kind of thing. You know, if
yeah.
at the end of the day, it's like, okay, so here's what we did. We stayed here for a long time. We didn't stay here for a long time. These kinds of things. What worked? You know, if they've never been to a convention before, they might not even know how they're going to respond to that much stimuli and, you know, 7,000 people hawking their wares and, you know, them trying to figure out what they want to do. And so it may be that after an hour, you cool it, take a break. Most conventions at this point have, like, a free play area or a lounge area where you can sort of
yeah.
step back from the action.
Quiet room.
Right.
Something.
And so maybe a little bit of, like, sample and then draw back and
compare,
make sure that you reset yeah. those expectations and you're both on the same page about things. One thing that I have found that has really helped us a lot too is doing sort of like the light sweep of an area and saying, okay, let's pick 2 or 3 things that we want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go back to them. Because if they see something and stop and fixate, and then after an hour they try to move on to the next thing and stop and fixate, then the thing with kids is they never want to leave, but their
right.
bodies can't handle that much stuff in that short a period of time, especially if they're not used to it.
Yeah.
And so as a parent, we want so desperately to give our children exactly what they want, especially in an environment where, you know, you're paying to get them into an experience.
Right. And it's supposed to be about being there and having fun.
Right. But you have to put your brain in front and say, okay, I know what this is going to be like. And so let's take a look around a little bit, and then we can come back and really like deep dive on a couple of individual things.
Yeah. Sounds good. As a rabbit trail off of that, you know you need to take time to rest. Kids don't have as much stamina as grown-ups do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing a multi-day con, even as a grown-up, you need time to rest.
Right.
Keep in mind, taking a break and resting for kids is not always going to look the same as it does for an adult. I actually found when we were at Boston Fig back in September, when we tried to pull back and take a rest, I ended up taking the kids outside to where they were doing a boffing demonstration. And that was just what the kids needed to be able to get outside, run around, hit people, and not kind of continue to be in that closed-in environment where you can't move around much, mm-hmm. you can't do a lot physically.
Right.
And it just gave their brains a break.
Yep. And, you know, one thing that actually when we've been planning our Disney trip, it's a similar idea. For example, all of our character meals are all lunches, right? Because they build in an opportunity for rest. Mm-hmm. They build in an opportunity to decompress a little bit from the main event, so to speak, and really sit down and just sort of reset everything and then move on. One of the big things about conventions is that there's all of these sort of basic rules that really need to apply if you've never been to a convention before at all, even for adults, right? And those are things like buy a lot of Purell before you go to these. I mean, these are germ breeding. It's the perfect environment to breed the Conflu. Your kids might be crawling around on the floor. It just happens.
You're touching game components, you're touching papers, you're touching other people, and then you're touching yourself.
Right.
Kids put their fingers in
their mouths. It's a thing that, right? So, you know, it might be sanitizing wipes. It might be Purell. You know, we talk a lot about the talk now is don't use antibacterial. Use it. Kill everything on your hands.
Use the antibacterial stuff that kills everything. Worry about building their immune system and their good bacteria back up.
Before or after.
When you're done.
So definitely like Purell or something like that is super important.
I've seen that they make immune support gummies now. If your kid mm-hmm. doesn't like airborne or stuff like that, at least get them some extra vitamin C in advance of the trip.
Yep.
For your own sanity, even if you don't get sick, you also don't want them to get sick because you don't want to take care of a sick kid after or in the middle of
a
con.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, their bodies process things through a lot faster than ours do. So they're more likely to get sick sooner. Which is then in turn going to get you sick. So especially if you fly, if you're flying to a convention and it's your first convention, first of all, God bless you. And I don't mean that because you're sneezing on the way home. I mean, God bless you.
No, also because you'll be sneezing on the way home.
But, sick kids on planes is the worst.
Yeah.
Right? It's awful.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of those other standard convention things apply. Hydration.
Yes.
Supremely important.
Bring water bottles. Bring reusable water bottles because most conventions, especially gaming conventions, will have water coolers all over the place. Free water, anybody who wants it. I saw a great suggestion, which is bring reusable water bottles with a straw. That means that you don't have to spend as much effort opening them up and you're less likely to tip them over and spill them on someone else's mm-hmm. game.
Sure. Yeah, that would make people upset. Cardboard does not deal well with water.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, snacks. Things like, I was just going to say, squeeze pouches are awesome.
Yeah, applesauce pouches.
Applesauce or whatever sauce or, whatever pureed, I don't know, whatever.
Whatever
are fantastic.
Kids
like. Little granola bars are good, things like that. You know, again, these are pretty much standard con tips, but they're super important with kids.
Well, because you know your kids. You know how long they can go without extra food before they're going to melt down. But for most kids, it's a lot shorter period than an adult, and they're going to melt down a lot less gracefully
right.
than
an adult. And, you know, I mean, unless you're going to a kid-specific con, like, there may be things that your kids will enjoy, and I hope if you're bringing your kids with you, that's part of your expectation.
Yeah.
But ultimately, a lot of what you're going for is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a really one of those times when you indulge their desire for those really delicious granola bars or whatever that you normally wouldn't give your kids.
Gummy fruit snacks, which is basically just candy.
Right.
I might buy some when we go to
Yeah, absolutely. Con. You know, yeah. stuff like that is, I mean, this is the time to do those things. You want snacks that don't leave too much residue on the hands.
Yes.
Right? But that goes back to the Purell
or sanitary more Purell. Wipes. Yeah. yep.
But rather unsurprisingly, all of these things are really ultimately con tips for anyone.
Yes.
Just at a 2/3 size.
Yeah. Well, speaking of con tips for anyone, unless you were specifically going to a small scale board gaming convention like a Total Con or a Granite Game Summit or something, there will be tons of vendors. You will probably want to buy stuff. You may have the self-control. Your kids may not. Set a budget.
Set a budget
for your family. But also, if you're bringing your kids to a big con like this, be like, you know what? Yeah, you're going to want to buy some stuff and have some metric in your head, whether it's an actual dollar amount or a I'm going to buy one game for each kid, you know, or something, so that and set that expectation with them as well. Like, you're going to see so much stuff you want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but by the second or third day, it's going to start to look old. So let's
right, and so
give it a little break, and then decide.
A side option that you even have there is if you are anything like us, you have parental incentive stashed away in your closet, right? And you know, for us, it's various things, but for you, it might be Pokemon cards or. Shopkins, or these kinds of things.
In our case, it's Disney Infinity characters. You know,
yeah, probably not Disney Infinity. They take up a little bit too much room.
Yeah,
but
I know.
You know, if your kid's into Pokemon, bring 5 packs of Pokemon cards with you, 10 packs of Pokemon cards with you, and be like, you know what, you've been doing an awesome job today. You know, you've been super well behaved for the last couple hours. Here's a pack of Pokemon cards that I got for you.
Yeah,
and that will assuage a lot of that desire to get new things.
Yes,
without having to pay con prices.
Yes.
And that's super, super helpful. The shoe thing is also super important. You have feet that will get tired from walking for a long time, and your stride is 2 or 3 times that of a kid. Guess what? They have to move the same distance as you do, which means they have to take 2 to 3 times as many steps as you do,
yeah.
Which means it's super easy for us to like forget about... You know, the fact that our kids are walking too and their feet are encountering the same stress as ours are.
Yes.
But if you've been to cons and you've decided it's time to take your kids, and so you know, hey, I need to buy a new pair of shoes 2 months before con so I can break them in so that they're comfortable yeah. at the convention.
Make
guess
sure
what?
Your kids have comfortable shoes.
Your kids
too.
Need to have comfortable shoes too. And it's super easy to forget about stuff like that, but it's really important.
I may make a suggestion for a multi-day con, especially. Extra socks, and if you can afford the space, extra shoes.
Mm-hmm. Even if they're shoes that just kind of fit your kid's feet a little bit differently, it's just yeah, less fatigue.
Well, less fatigue, and if your kids get sweaty, gross feet, those shoes are going to start to stink, and they will really benefit from some airing out somewhere in the middle of your time.
Just put them like on the air conditioners, so when you go back to your hotel room, you're like, oh.
But they will have dried out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100% true. And one other thing to consider, if you've never been to a convention and you have a stroller-age child, a lot of the time, strollers are not allowed on convention floors.
When we go to Boston Fig, we bring a stroller,
mm-hmm.
Even though our youngest, who's 3 now, he wants to be up and walking for most of it, but he gets tired. He wants to sit down.
It also becomes a convenient place to stash your stuff when he's walking around.
Oh, so handy. But if, you know, do your research ahead of time. Depending on the size of the con, if it's a bigger one, they probably won't allow strollers in a lot of the large
The convention areas. Halls,
yeah.
usually. They'll allow them around, but not in the halls themselves.
So figure out how you're going to deal with that. Are you going to wear the kid? Are you doing the two-parent thing and one parent's going to go in, the other one's going to stay out? you know, just it's one of those forethought thing, and different people do it different ways.
Yeah, some strollers fold up and they're small-ish. Some strollers, like we've got a McLaren, which is great, and you can actually fold that thing up and throw it over your shoulder, and it's not bad.
It's got a strap.
It's not one of those Graco things that only folds in half. It actually collapses. And so, you know, you may decide to go the umbrella stroller route. Just make sure that you're used to pushing around a kid in an umbrella stroller. Because those things can be a little bit more tiring. But it's just something to be mindful of. If you're reliant on having a kid in a stroller, you're going to have a tough time in a convention hall if that hall doesn't allow it. So just make sure you check those rules before you head out.
Speaking of carrying stuff, I'm going to make another suggestion. If your kids are old enough to be semi-responsible, as I would say ours are at 6 and 9,
mm-hmm.
Make them share some of the burden of carrying stuff around. not in a harsh way, but like, you know
what? Yeah!
But you know what? You know what? You can carry a backpack or a fanny pack or something with a couple of snacks. And you know what? Reins are off when you go to a con. You know, you have your own snacks. If you're hungry, just let, you know, don't walk away. But you can open up your bag on your own and get a snack out. You don't have to go ask mom or find the person who has the bag with all the snacks. You know, let them carry a little bit of their own stuff.
Right. So there's other kind of things that we want to talk about a little bit, and those are some of the things that are maybe a little bit less fun about conventions. One common tactic that I have talked to a lot of parents about when they go to larger events like this, or go to Disney World, or go to, you know, a theme park or whatever, is take a Sharpie and write your phone number on your kid's arm.
Yes.
Heaven forbid something happens and your kid gets separated from you, that is a surefire way to know that they've got contact information for you on them. Yes. Like, literally on them.
Literally on their skin.
Yep. So just like the inside of the arm, it'll wash off in a couple of days, right?
If the idea of Sharpies really bothers you, you can buy temporary tattoos with your phone number on them and stick those on your kid instead.
Right. Yeah. So no matter what, I mean, things can happen. Right. And they might not be malicious things. I mean, you could be in a crowd and it just happens. And so it's a really great way to make sure that someone can contact you if they find your kid somewhere. Yes.
Back to the setting expectations ahead of time. Talk through with your kids, especially when you're, you know, going to go into a big convention hall, big exhibition hall, and say, you know what? If we get separated and you can't find me,
you know, here's a meeting place or something.
So like, we're going to meet over, you know, under this giant dragon or, you know, here's what the people who are con security look like.
Right.
Go up to
anybody with an enforcer shirt or whatever.
So go up to somebody wearing this kind of t-shirt and say, I can't find my mom. You know, can you help me? Call her, and here's the phone number.
Right,
on my
exactly,
arm.
exactly. So
things like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I cannot say that everybody at a con is a decent human being, right? But most of the people that are there to have a good time, and a lot of the, I mean, most of the time they're compassionate people.
Yeah.
And if stuff happens, they will try to help. People like to help people, right?
Yeah.
And so doing things that are rational and reasonable, if something happens, are really good ideas.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to put a leash on your kid.
Yeah. I mean,
but you should be responsible and have these sort of, if the worst happens, this is a way that we can resolve the problem.
Right. And I mean, if you've been a parent long enough to have a, you know, mobile kid coming with you to a con, most of this, you're going to say, yeah, of course I knew that. But nobody can think of 100% of this stuff all the time.
Right. So, I'm sure there's tons of great stuff that we didn't come up with. And in fact, if you have any thoughts on things that either you've done or you've seen done, or I don't know, you saw some internet meme about some clever thing that some parent did somewhere at some, you know, convention or whatever, let us know. Let us know in the show notes on the show post at thefamilygamers.com. Mm-hmm. Head over to our community, thefamilygamers.com/community, our Facebook page, facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA. You
tell
can tweet
us on
at
Twitter,
us.
Twitter, at FamilyGamersAA.
Anywhere. Just share any ideas that you've got, because, I mean, first of all, we're going in 2 weeks. And second of all, these are really important things. I mean, nobody wants to put their life on hold because of you know, this parenting thing. And in fact, that's kind of the whole point of why we do the show that we do.
Bring the kids along into the things that you love.
Right. And so if you've got any ideas, any thoughts that maybe we haven't brought up, definitely let us know.
Yeah. We're really looking forward to doing a big time con with our kids.
It's going to be, it's going to be wild. I'm having like agita about it.
Excited, but also nervous.
Yeah.
But
if you're going to be at PAX Unplugged, by the way, definitely look out for us. Tweet at us. We're going to be wearing our Family Gamers t-shirts.
Most of the time, yeah.
Most of the time. And on Sunday at 11:30 in the Diorat Theater, we will be hosting a panel on gaming with kids.
Yeah.
So you should come check that out. It'll be awesome. There's going to be prizes. We have
prizes,
stuff to give away.
Prizes.
Yeah.
So that's our show for this week. And whether or not you're planning on going to any conventions this year, remember,
play games with your kids.